All right, let's go ahead and open with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing together so many of your sons and daughters here tonight to call to mind your gift of media, that you would please send your Holy Spirit upon this group, upon this conversation, upon this talk, and help us to be open to your grace always. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so here we are. The talk is called, I think I called it something like, Bless the Media, Retweeting the Gospel. And so you probably came here because you're interested in hearing about social media and how we can use it to evangelize. And while that will definitely be part of what we're going to be talking about tonight, I kind of want to kind of back up and kind of talk about the wider kind of implications of what media is and what media is for, what the theology of media is, because I think that those kind of principles, when properly understood, will serve us when we do log on to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or what have you. One other kind of caveat before we officially kick this off is that this talk is not meant to say that everybody needs social media. Not everybody needs social media. I will clear the air right now. If you have discerned with the Lord's help that social media is terrible for you, then I'm not about to say, no, you have to like get an account. No, I'm not going to do that. God calls so many different people in so many different ways, and so social media can play a role in some people's lives, and in other people's, it can be a stumbling block. And so I recognize that, and I realize the realities of that. And I also would say that even if you do have social media, there should be seasons in your life where you take a step back and you kind of just disconnect. Because our world is just overrun with content. It is completely just crazy confusing. I don't know if you've noticed. And social media definitely contributes to the buzz and the agitation and all of those difficulties that make following Jesus so hard. So those are kind of the two caveats before we kick it off, that I'm not here to tell you that you need social media if you've decided that that's not for you. And two, social media is tough, and it is a trial in itself. But having all said all that, I am so passionate about using the media and harnessing the power of the media in order to... William's already laughing. Look at him. He can't even keep it in. William Douglas, seminary for the Diocese of Richmond. Give him a hand. But I'm so passionate about this. This is like my soapbox. And if anybody knows me, they know Anthony likes to talk about the media. And it's kind of annoying. And we put up with him because he's a deacon. But anyway, so I'm very passionate about this. And when I think about why I'm passionate about it, I look to my passion for art and for design. So as Aaron just explained a few seconds ago, I worked as a graphic designer here in Richmond for about 3 or 4 years after college before going off to the seminary. And so in that time, I was working in some ways to receive like somebody's business, like somebody's small business, something that they really cared about, something that was their livelihood. And it was my job to first understand what they wanted to do with that business, understand like what made that business different than the rest of everything else, and then craft kind of a brand, a marketing strategy in order to help preach their brand in a way. And so my job was to, first of all, kind of believe in their brand in some way, and then help other people believe in it. And so when I kind of transferred that into, like, ministry, it was only natural that these same gifts and these same charisms would come to the fore, that God would use the media for me to understand what the church was about, what made the church tick, what made the church and her teachings different than anybody else, And then to believe in that and then help other people to believe in that as well through the use of the media. So that was kind of my background. Now fast forward to the seminary. So I've been in seminary now for 5 years. I'm coming up on my last school year of seminary, and I'm excited to be finished, but I'm also a little bit nervous, so pray for me. But here I was in the seminary, and I started to notice something about the church's perspective, or at least some people within the church's, their perspective on the media. And what I started to notice, and maybe you've noticed this too from homilies or from talks, this, that, and the other, is that there tended to be this pessimism surrounding the media. There seemed to be this sense that social media, video, like websites, blogs, the internet in general, was always going to be a distraction and an obstacle to us living the Christian life. And I kind of wrestled with that. I was like, what is this? Why do people seem to look at media and see it predominantly as a threat? Why do they seem to see it only as a liability? Why do so many people seem to kind of fear the unknown factors that go into the media, go into things like Facebook and Twitter? These concerns are real. These concerns are things that we kind of have to grapple with and discern. But I'm not convinced that they are the end-all, be-all of the story. I don't think that that's all there is to it. There is power in the media, a power to communicate, a power to share, a power to speak to truth. Okay? And so, in the seminary, I kind of was wrestling with all of this stuff. And it wasn't until this past school year when me and a couple of friends started to kind of really engage this question. And really ask, what can we do about this? Because there is power in the media. There's something to be unleashed here. Like, God speaks through the media. I experienced this myself. I remember there was one story when I was discerning the priesthood, and I Googled. I was like, what are the requirements for a seminarian? Like, what? Basically, I was looking for an excuse not to go to seminary. And so I was like, all right, what? You know, how can I get off the hook? And I found this website, of all things, and it was super helpful. And I read the content. I was like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. This is like God speaking to me. And then I looked at the bottom of that website, and it was the vocations website for the Catholic Diocese of Richmond. So I was like, man, okay, God, I hear you. This is real. To discount the media would be to say that that wasn't God, that God didn't lead me there. It's like, what's going on here? So, as I was saying, me and a couple of friends started kind of engaging this question of how can we use the media? How can we inspire other seminarians to not see the media just as a threat, just as kind of some kind of liability or something that is an obstacle to your prayer life? And so we started reading what the church had to say about this, and we discovered a whole lot. First of all, and kind of the foundation document, was this decree on the means of social communication from the Second Vatican Council. So Vatican II actually did issue a decree. It's one of the lesser known ones. We know there's Lumen Gentium on the church, which is very, very famous. There's Sacro Sanctum Concilium on the liturgy, which is very famous. And there's a whole host of other documents. But this one is very short, and it's like super overlooked. But we found it, and we read it. And it blew my mind. It blew my mind that the church had already started to think about media in this really revolutionary way, even in the 1960s, like kind of at the cusp of like a lot of technological developments. And in there, one line in particular kind of jumped out at me, and it was, it had to do with preaching. It had to do with preaching. And it said something along the lines of the means of social communication are to be a part of the ordinary means of a priest's preaching ministry. Ordinary. This is not extraordinary. This is not something that was kind of extra or added on to the priest's responsibilities. There was something about the nature of media itself that priests and the entire church, for that matter, had to participate in. And it had to do with preaching. And I was thinking back to my graphic design days when my job was to preach the brand. And then my intuition was, I need to preach the brand of the church, preach the love of God, preach Jesus Christ. And this resonated very deeply with me, that there was this like kernel where it's like the church knows that media is intimately related with preaching and preaching the truth with boldness and with courage and with zeal. And then a couple of other things happened. We read, the guys that I was working with, we read this article. Maybe you've seen it posted on Facebook or whatever. It's by Bishop Robert Barron, and it is an article that's titled, Get Out of the Sacristy. Get out of the sacristy, he said. And I was like, I'm ready. But I'm ready. All right, so basically in that article, he kind of talked about, I mean, among other things, he talked about how with so many people leaving the church these days that we might in the future have to rethink what a parish looks like. But then at the very end of that article, he just kind of almost as an afterthought, he says, like, you know, I imagine an army of young priests who are trained in order to use the media effectively and evangelize the nuns, the people who are not affiliated, not N-U-N-S, N-O-N-E-S, the people that say, I have none affiliation. And again, it was like, wow, like somebody is speaking to me. God, through this blog post, was saying, listen, this is something that you need to act on. So I was like, all right. And then the third piece. So first there was Inter Mirifica, the document from Vatican II. Second was this article by Bishop Robert Barron that kind of rocked my socks. And then third was this saint who I met. I don't know if you've ever met a saint, but it kind of changes your life sometimes. And it's amazing. This saint that I'd never known about his existence ever before started to kind of do crazy things in our seminary. And his name is Blessed James Alberione. And Blessed James Alberione is from Italy, and he's basically the Archbishop Fulton Sheen of Italy. He's a pioneer in media evangelization. He was the guy, I mean, he's like late 1800s into the early 1970s, so a contemporary of Sheen. But he really set the bar for how the church approaches media. Whether we know it or not, he influenced Vatican II in a profound way when it came to how it thought about the media. So basically, Blessed James Alberione, his idea, I mean, he has many ideas and a really profound spirituality that encompasses many aspects of media evangelization and all sorts of things. But really what it comes down to for him is, again, preaching. He viewed all of the modern means of communication as ways to preach. So here's a quote from Blessed James Alberione. He writes, "The machine, the microphone, the screen are our pulpit. The press, the production room, the screening hall, and the transmission center are like our church. The temptations are many, but we shall make ours the words of St. Paul. I do all things for the gospel." I do all things for the gospel. So he saw microphones. I mean, we're using one right now so you can hear it. I'm recording this on a microphone. So microphones, screens. We each have like a screen in our pocket right now. We have a multimedia factory in our pockets, in our purses. I don't have a purse, so it's in my pocket. This is powerful stuff. It is a huge responsibility, and it is a gigantic privilege. Never before have Christians been given this much evangelizing power packed into one little tiny iPhone. It's crazy. So Blessed James Alberione didn't live to see iPhones on earth, but his spiritual daughters are using them like crazy. The Daughters of St. Paul. Hashtag media nuns. Check them out. Ladies, they're cool. They're a cool religious order. Check them out. Seriously, if you're discerning. So he saw this as a way of proclaiming the gospel. All of these means. He had press. He had radio. He had TV. He had film. He didn't have the internet. But all of these other ways, he saw these as powerful pulpits to preach the gospel. So then we have to ask, well, what is the gospel? Is it just like a bunch of ideas? Is it like doctrine, like teachings? Is it a bunch of precepts, a bunch of rules, a list of commandments that we have to follow. All those things are aspects of the gospel, sure. But at its heart, the gospel is the person of Jesus Christ. And then I started thinking, okay, so if the gospel is Jesus Christ, and we're using the media to proclaim him, then there was a word kind of jumped into my mind. And it just kind of exploded there, and I'd never thought about it before. And it comes from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And I have it bookmarked here. And he says this, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle." That word mediator. Have you ever thought about the fact that media is stuck in the middle of the word mediator? It was crazy. I thought about it. I was like, what the heck? This has been hiding there the entire time. And so I started kind of meditating on this mediator. And then it dawned on me that Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus, is the media of God the Father. That Jesus Christ is the communication of God the Father's love for the whole world, for each one of us. Media, a medium, is a vehicle, a means in order to give something, to express something. And here we are, we're here, we're worshiping the expression of God the Father, the Word made flesh, the eternal Word, spoken from all eternity. That's crazy. He is the mediator between God and men. He is the means by which God the Father spoke to us. All good media, then, that we help to produce is a participation in the fullness of God as expressed in Jesus. And then I started kind of thinking, okay, so Jesus is the media, and Jesus is the means by which all of our media is given efficacy, given power, given purpose, given direction. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then I started thinking, okay, so what about the church? How does the church figure into this, like as the body of Christ? And then it became very clear. So the church isn't a stranger to media. I mean, first of all, she knows Jesus, who is the media, I guess. But she's also no stranger to all of the forms of media that have existed over the eons. So right from the get-go, we have scripture. We have the recorded sayings of Jesus. We have oral tradition of the stories about Jesus' life in the early church. These are forms of media. We have tradition in the form of the liturgy and in the form of the sacraments that Jesus instituted. We have tradition that's handed down physically through gestures and words. This is media. We have the sacraments themselves, which are medium by which Jesus Christ is encountered. That we come into contact with the life of God. They are media. And then on top of all that, we have the regular stuff that we can think of pretty quickly. We have a huge tradition of sacred art. We have a beautiful tradition of sacred music. We have, like, literally we can go and visit sacred architecture, and we can encounter God through this media that people loving God and desiring to proclaim him have left for us to enjoy and to learn more about our Lord through. And then, of course, on top of that, we have books, we have letters of saints, we have encyclicals from popes over the years. All of these are forms of media. So my question then became, why then are we suddenly, as a church, so suspicious and so slow to become excellent at these new forms of media. Because historically, the church has always been on the cutting edge of these amazing new forms of communication of God's glory. The modern means of communication should be no different, if you ask me. Now, over the last, you know, several years, as we've kind of come to terms with the internet, which is a huge deal, and it has profoundly transformed our culture, the popes have provided some good reasons that we should be at least cautious, as I mentioned at the start of this talk. So Pope Francis talks about how technology is not neutral, that any technology, for that matter, is not neutral. It shapes the way that we interact with the world. It shapes our relationships with other people. So the internet, we have to seriously ask, how is this changing our relationships with people? There are damaging effects that we can see when people are not in line with God. Vices like pride, vices like vanity, narcissism, jealousy. All of these things are possibilities when logging on Facebook. Because you see what other people are doing, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I was going to Portugal. That's awesome. I wish I was sitting on a beach drinking a Corona. So you start to feel jealous, maybe. Or maybe you're sitting on the beach with a Corona, and you're like, I'm going to post this and make everybody else jealous. So yeah, social media has some issues, and we have to be aware of those things. But still, like, we have to ask as a church, is this enough to say that it's like this intrinsic evil? I don't buy it. Blessed James Alberione has two deceptions that he warns against. Two deceptions. First, he says that we can't just preach against the media out of like this fearful reactionism. Just because the internet is new and we're trying to figure out as a culture and as a creature of God how to use this well doesn't mean that we have to just reject it outright. That doesn't follow. So we have to safeguard against this tendency to just preach against what's new and scary. Because the internet is new and scary. And then the second deception that he warns against is an undue hesitation to use those means to proclaim the gospel. And here he's being kind of realistic, because these means are powerful. These means are very, very powerful. And guess who is going to make use of those means if we don't? And if we do as well. The devil. The enemy of our souls, the one who does not want us to be in relationship with God forever. And he knows how hard it is for us to follow God, and he knows how seriously powerful this stuff is. And so he is attacking it, and he is filling it up with all sorts of lies and all sorts of deceptions. And Blessed James Alberione would say, in order to combat that, we got to be there. Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Jesus did not abandon the world. Jesus sent us into the world, not to be of it, but we are called to be in the midst of it. And so that's kind of a tough challenge. I think one way that we can kind of think about how we can use the media well, though, and this is transitioning into kind of a reflection on one of my favorite people ever. In fact, my favorite people after Jesus. Mary. So Mary, I think, gives us a really, really amazing way of approaching the media that I'd like to go through. And actually, this meditation is kind of drawing on the joyful mysteries. The joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And so there's five of them, if you haven't counted. But first of all, there's the Annunciation. Second, the Visitation. Third, the birth of Jesus. Fourth, the presentation, and fifth, the finding of the boy Jesus in the temple. And so I'd like to just kind of run through these with you to see how she teaches us how to use the media. And so number one, the Annunciation. The Annunciation, I think, most of all, teaches us to be receptive to God, to be completely open to God's will. And if we're going to use the media and not be deceived by the enemy, then we have to be rooted in prayer. We have to be completely dependent on the Lord. And we have to turn to him. We have to be in relationship with him constantly, always asking him should this be posted? Should I log on now? Should I check Twitter 5,000 times in the next 5 minutes? Newsflash, God would say no. But we have to be rooted in prayer and open to God's will. And Mary is the definition of openness to God's will. She would never do anything to depart from him. She is all about the Lord, and she's all about pointing to Jesus. Number two, visitation. The visitation to Elizabeth. And this one, I think, teaches us that through the media, we can visit people. We can visit our friends, our family members, the people who have been acquaintances in our life. We can visit them and pray for them and help them. I'm on Catholic Twitter. I don't know if you're on Catholic Twitter. If you're not, it's fun. But like on a daily basis, you'll see so many tweets of people you don't know or maybe you've met a couple times, and they are asking for prayers. And in some way, it's like I'm visiting them, and I can lift that up, that intention up to the Lord. Third, the birth of Jesus. So I think that this teaches us something about kind of the end of our media proclamation. Because when we respond to God's will, Jesus is born in us and we become his presence, right? But we also share Jesus. Mary, at the birth of Jesus, is holding him for the Magi to come and encounter him, right? The Magi come and visit, and they see Mary with Jesus, and she offers Jesus to the Magi. She offers Jesus to the shepherds. So the birth of Jesus, mystery of the rosary, can teach us that we are to point to the Lord. We are to offer him through our media evangelization. And then fourth, the presentation. So when you go to share something online, I mean, you're presenting something. You're giving it. You're bringing it to the temple of Facebook, I guess. But Mary, when she brings Jesus to the temple, she's carrying out, like, the law. She's following God's will. She's obedient. She's doing what a good Jewish woman does, a good Jewish mother, is she consecrates the firstborn son. And she has no clue what's going to happen at the temple when they get there. When they arrive, Simeon comes, and he, like, grabs baby Jesus out of Mary's hands, and he's like, "Now you let your servant go in peace. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared." Like, what is Mary doing at that point? I wonder. What was she doing? Like, this crazy church guy just grabbed my baby. What's going on? So too, when we post something online, we don't always know what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to affect someone. We don't know if, like, something that we care about and that we're passionate about and what we love about the Lord, how's that going to affect someone's heart? Someone might respond like Simeon did. "Now you let your servant go in peace. My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." We don't know. We're planting the seed. And then fifth, finding of the boy Jesus in the temple. And I think about when Mary lost Jesus, and I imagine that she was kind of like just anxious in some ways. Not like in this sinful way, because she is conceived without sin. But she was like, "Man, like, where did Jesus go? I can't find him." And I think this is a good reminder for us. When we are using the media to evangelize and we feel lost or confused or we've lost our way, that Jesus is always in the same spot. He's always in the Father's house. And we can always go there and find him. We can always return to the Father's house and disconnect and get away from all the craziness and then rest with the Lord. Rest with him there. "Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" So whenever we're anxious or worried or confused about all this stuff online, we can go to the church, we can go to the Blessed Sacrament, and receive peace. I share all of these reflections from the life of Mary with you because at the end of the day, the church is Marian. The church is modeled after Mary, receptive to God's will, Jesus being born in us, and then she gives Jesus to the world. That's what the church is in a nutshell. And I would argue that that is what the media is all about too. We bring forth, we edit Christ, if you will. that he may then be given to the entire world. And like Mary, we're called to ponder these things, ponder the things that we have a privilege to participate in. I'd like to end on another kind of little list of things that I think good media does. And I'll end on this because I know I'm running out of time. Media that's rooted in that contemplation, in that experience of Mary pondering these things in her heart and then giving them away, proclaiming Jesus. They do five things. First of all, good media confuses people. Good media, I think, just straight up confuses people. Because what they're expecting is filth on Twitter. What they're expecting is narcissism on Facebook or Instagram. What they're expecting is making fun of people or being snarky or all of these things. Good media confuses people because you're using these platforms in a way that they aren't usually used. And so it's jarring. It's like, whoa, that's different. What makes them do that rather than this? So it confuses people. Second of all, it convicts people. So we got to be bold on our platforms. We got to be bold on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you are. If you're not, that's fine. But we got to convict people. Like, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, ultimately. But, like, good media will lead people to the conviction that, like there's something in life that is way more meaningful than anything else, and that's the Lord. So it convicts people. It kind of shocks people out of their status quo and proposes something that kind of conflicts with them. Third, it converts. So it's an invitation to metanoia. It is an invitation to change your mind, to turn away from whatever to something better, to the life that God offers us. So it converts people. And, I mean, I would say that my conversion is definitely rooted in media to some extent, and the way that God used the media, used graphic design, used all these different things and people online. I see his hand in so many different ways. Music is a media. I definitely would say that my conversion is rooted in media of music. I listen to the band Thrice, and they're awesome. They rock out, and but they have a lot of Christian lyrics, and they caused me, first of all, to be confused. What is this guy singing about? It convicted me. It's like, this guy believes something. And then it converted me, because I knew I had to change if I wanted to be in alignment with that. Fourth, it catechizes. So once it has confused, convicted, and converted someone, it provides formation. And sometimes I think we skip to this part with media, because Bishop Robert Barron and Father Mike Schmitz and all these guys, like, they produce so much good media, and we're forming the heck out of our parishes sometimes. Like, we're shoving program after program down people's throats. But where do they go next? Like, what happens next? I think that we're pretty good at that. I think we're good at the intellectual side of providing things for people to consume. And then fifth, and lastly, and this is the source and summit, is communion. So there's five C's if you were counting. Communion. Everything leads to communion. And if our media doesn't lead us to communion, then it's worthless. It's not worth risking your soul. There's a priest on Twitter. His name is Father Anthony Sharapa. I went to seminary with him, and he's Twitter famous. But one of his pinned tweets says, losing your immortal soul on Twitter would be the lamest way to go to hell. Which is great. It's like, if your media leads you to communion, then do it. If it leads you into sin, then cut it off. Pluck it out. That's kind of a challenge, communion. I'll end with a quote from Blessed James Alberione again. This is something that while he was praying in adoration, he heard from the tabernacle. And this is kind of the heart and soul of our faith, and it is really the source from which all good media comes, which is the Eucharist. Our media is rooted in the Eucharist. And he's basically, the Lord told him and laid on his heart this little line. And it's very simple. It just says, from here I will enlighten. From here I will enlighten. From this tabernacle I will enlighten. And I think if we stay close to the Lord in the Holy Eucharist, in the body and blood of Jesus, that we will remain in him. and he will lead us to the Father's house. We will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will live a full life. And we can proclaim the gospel on social media without fear, without kind of this hesitation that makes us less relatable in the long run, I think. So continue to wrestle with this question. Continue to pray about it. Ask the Lord how you can, in your own audiences, in your own spheres of influence, share the gospel. Not in an obnoxious way, but in a real way, in a genuine way, in a way that's authentic to you, so that people can encounter the Lord in you, because he's living in you, and he is dwelling in your heart. So thank you very much for listening, and God bless you all.